The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hi, this is Brad Fiddler, and you're listening to The Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson.
I don't know what his problem is, David Parkinson, but he promised me he'd redo the ident and name check you, and he hasn't.
Tell you what, he always forgets me. Every single week. I don't know why we bother with him.
Welcome to another Final Hooter. My name's Adrian Jackson. I'm joined by David Parkinson. And how are you after that great magic weekend?
Was it magic?
It was magic.
Was it magic? Are you sure?
Could it be magic? Of course it was.
we're heading off into take that territory there. Could it be magic? So,
7 games, 2 days, 1 venue. Brilliant. 64,500 fans, 400 points scored, 69 tries. Wow, what can you say?
If this had been a normal Super League weekend, up to 79,000 people would have gone through the turnstile, so they're selling it short.
4,000 tackles, 4 yellow cards, 1 red card.
We bring back the Biff. That's the only good thing about this weekend.
2 fights. Yeah, 2 fights. Wigan and Leeds going head-to-head. Not just once, but twice. That was like proper rugby league, wasn't it?
I'll tell you why I'm a little bit against this magic weekend. Because they're making it out as this big rugby league event, aren't they?
It is.
It's a big rugby league event, but in that case, if it's so big, why have the rest of the rugby league playing? The amateur guys, they got the weekend off, but the other semi-pro guys, they were still playing and knocking 10 bells out of each other.
Probably give the amateur guys the weekend off so they could go out on the lash and enjoy the rugby league.
So what's the difference between them and the semi-professional guys?
No, you'd have to set that up with people above me and you, Mr. Parkinson.
I think I will. I'll be on to that Blake Solly before he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's heading into his new role, isn't he, from the, is it the 1st of July? So I'll have plenty to speak to him about.
Plenty coming up on this final, as we speak about the Magic Weekend. We've got a winner's enclosure, all the winning coaches, all in one little package just for you.
Tell you what, you've been busy, haven't you, mate?
Not just me, but our man Steve Manning as well. I know they call him Dave then.
Well, I mean, we've got enough Daves involved, haven't we? You know, I'm just thinking with the other Daves that are involved down here at the station.
And in recent weeks, we've had 2 new coaches coming to the dugouts at various clubs. So we caught up with Joel Grimmett. Not the player that played for Widnes, by the way. This guy's Australian, about half a foot shorter, but he is a nice guy. He's Joel Grimmett, and he's the new head coach at the London Broncos. And Yessen Harris doesn't need any introduction, does he? But he is the new coach at Salford, so I thought I'd catch up with them guys just to see how they're going.
Well, he's another nice guy in rugby league, isn't he, Yessen Harris? Obviously taking on the big job that is Salford Red Devils and the latest helmsman on the good ship Devolution.
Not just about the Magic Weekend, we have had the round before that as well, and in round 12, David Parkinson, St Andrews wrapped up the bullseye against the Bradford Bulls, 50-0.
50-0, they really did run riot, didn't they, on that particular occasion?
They certainly did, and St Andrews with that victory put themselves top of the pile before going into the Magic Weekend.
Well, it was very close, wasn't it? Were Leeds not on top? Just
oh, yes, they were. I do apologise. Yes, they were.
Yeah, because I'm thinking Leeds were on that good run of results, weren't they?
They did, because they seen off Castleford Tigers 22-14.
That was a really exciting game, that, played down the old lane at Weldon Road. And I just thought that they really did tackle the hearts out, because Castleford gave their all in that, and they always seem to really come good when they have to face the big city slickers, as they call them.
It's been a long time since I've heard Castleford Ground being called the Weldon Road, by the way.
Well, you know, we like a bit of tradition on this show.
Should we start name-checking old grounds, like Larkholm Lane?
Larkholm Lane at Keighley, yeah. Hilton Park at Lee.
Norton Park.
McLaren Field.
All those traditional old grounds. Crown Flat, yeah.
Post Office Road still exists.
Under a different guise.
Not forgetting Mount Pleasant as well, the loverugbyleague.com stadium.
What's Wakefield's called now? It used to be called Bellevue back in my day.
Oh, I think is it some solicitor's stadium?
Oh, okay.
I can't even think of the name to even check it. Not that I'm in the hunt for a solicitor at this moment in time.
So yeah, I've wondered about Hokinson Rovers. What part of the ground did they start calling it New Craven Park?
Ah, well, they had Old Craven Park, didn't they? New Craven Park. Yeah. But now they've dropped the new bit.
They dropped the new bit now. Okay.
They have, even though they have got a new bit to Craven Park. There's that big stand, didn't there, that opened early this year.
Now, let's move away from ground,
shall
we?
What the heck are we talking about?
No idea. Other wins in round 12 of Super League 19. There was a big win for Wigan against Hull FC. Huddersfield maintained their win as well against the London Broncos. Broncos, who remain pointless going into the Magic weekend. The Red Devils got a well-earned point against Hawkinson Rovers. Warrington seen off Castleland Dragons, and Widnes were undone by the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats.
That one between Wakefield and Widnes, it was a very last-minute try as well, wasn't it, by Paul Sykes. He doesn't tend to score that many these days. Doesn't tend to get in the team that often these days as he once did, but still a fairly decent player. And the highlight of the Warrington game was those two tries, I should say, for Joel Monaghan, which took him past 100 for the club.
Well done to Joe Monaghan, because he's been a proven try scorer for the Primrose and Blue, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He's done really well, and certainly seems to have got a home on that wing at Warrington, and really does tend to put the cat amongst the pigeons to opposing defences.
Castleland Dragons have been a bit of a funny team this year, haven't they, really?
They have, yeah. They've been really up and down. The form of late seemed to be suggesting that they were going to be, knocking on the fringes of the top eight. At the moment, they're currently sitting in ninth position, but I get the feeling that they're a bit too inconsistent for mine, unfortunately. And every time they come over here and they play one of the perceived top four clubs, they tend to take a bit of a toweling, don't they? And, in the Magic weekend, they had a very, very narrow victory over a London Broncos side that, as you mentioned before, is winless and still pointless after 13 games.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out for the London Broncos, isn't it? But hopefully Joe Grimmer, the new coach, will get his ideas across, because they are slowly improving in performances, aren't they? They're not far away from a victory, just can't seem to get over that winning post.
You're right, and I think with the likes of Cat and Brown, who they've got at the moment, so over there playing in the centres, he's doing well in a beaten side, isn't he? I think he's crossed for something like 8 or 9 tries already this season, and certainly shows plenty of power and prowess on his way there. I also think as well that in Drinkwater they've got a fairly decent scrum half there. At the moment he's playing a little bit behind a beaten pack, but he is starting to make his influence felt, isn't he? And I'm sure despite him missing the final conversion, which would have given them a share of the points, he's got a lot of things to look forward to, but they're running out of games, aren't they? They've only got half a season left to pull themselves away from the bottom of the table, and to be fair, you wouldn't really fancy them doing it, would you, if you're a betting man? Can we still talk betting in rugby league?
Go on, we'll let you off. But you're not going to put any money on the side.
Well, I was just going to say, put it this way, I wouldn't be putting my pound on London Broncos being able to survive in Super League.
Right, all the spotlight of rugby league moved over to Manchester. Thankfully, for the weekend, it never rained, which is always a bonus in Manchester, isn't it?
It's a rarity, never mind a bonus. Tell you what, I worked in Manchester for 3 years, and I bet I could count the decent days on just a couple of hands.
Right, before we talk about the action on the field, we've done a special Magic weekend, the good, the bad and the ugly.
Oh yes, I'm looking forward to this one, Adrian. Let's see what you've got
and
for
right,
us.
Because the Magic weekend's over 2 days, we've split it. We're doing two for the price of one.
Okay.
Bit like the brawl between Wigan and Leeds, it's a two for the price
two
of
for
one.
The price of one. Okay.
All right, so okay, then on Saturday, the good, Reece Hansbury try, simply stunning for me.
Yeah, I also think as well the performance of Kevin Brown in that game against Salford, where it was basically billed, wasn't it, as Chase against Brown, and Brown took him to the cleaners basically and showed that he's a better prospect for England at this moment in time.
Now, we always like a Mexican wave within a game of rugby league.
Hang on, you do. I just think that says to me...
I even joined in the press bench.
That says to me that fans aren't interested in the game if they're doing Mexican wave.
Well, during the game between Wigan and Leeds, I was impressed. It did an impressive 8 laps of the stadium.
8 laps?
Yeah.
How often is that getting up? And that, I'm thinking, you go there and you buy your seat, don't you?
Well, that shows how interested I was in the Wigan and Leeds game. I was counting the Mexican wave going around the stadium.
That was the best game of the weekend, that, as well. And you were counting the...
Yeah,
you were counting...
Oh, right, that's in the good. In the bad, Danny Craven leaving the pitch for Widnes within 1 minute after coming off second best with that big collision with Gareth Hawk.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate. It just seems that every time Danny Craven has an opportunity, it opens up in front of him to get a few games together, go in at Widnes. Something happens, doesn't it? And for whatever reason, he's out of the team next and injuries creep in. But I suppose you can counter that with the performance of Lloyd White when he stepped off the bench. I thought he was a bit of a guiding hand on the tiller really for Widnes, and did pretty well.
Thing is though, Gareth Hawker is a big man and a nasty man as well to try and tackle. What's Danny Craven thinking?
Oh, listen, I was really disappointed that that was put on report, to be honest,
because nothing in it.
There was nothing in it at all. If they're going to do that, then they're going to end up with half of Super League on report at some point over the course of a weekend.
Also bad at the weekend, £4.20 for the pint.
I know where your priorities lie there with that that comment.
Yeah, it should be more like £1 a pint, not £4.20 a pint. I'd start taking me home.
How often was it £1 a pint? Is it still that price in Widnes?
Yeah. Newgully, Jason Crooks' challenge that got him sent off and also copped him a two-match ban.
Was this really that bad?
I thought it was.
Because, I mean, I was recently at a championship game.
He literally took his head off.
I was recently at a championship game between Dewsbury and Lee, and there was two incidents there where there were high challenges, late challenges, and the players that did it got away scot-free. So, you know, where's the consistency?
Now we're in Super League here, it's a straight red and two matches for him.
I'm getting back in Neil Udgell's corner here. You know, I know he's had his fair share of things to say. In fact, I think the other owner at Hull, Mr Pearson, has also had his things to say and had his wrist slapped over the course of the season, hasn't he?
Also in the ugly, the unsightly beer-bellied and sunburned rugby league fans, mainly men, enjoying themselves during the Magic Weekend.
I was
Saturday.
Nowhere near the Etihad Stadium. Don't go pointing your finger at me.
There was plenty on show, believe you me.
I'm not having that. I'm not having that. I was nowhere near. I wasn't one of them.
Okay, moving over to Sunday. In the good, it was dry and sunny, which is always a bonus in Manchester to get 2 days back to back.
You're struggling. Okay, it was nice and sunny again. Go on, carry on.
The overall performance of Castleford Tigers and the fact that two of them decided they wanted to go nearly enough 80 metres down the field in that heat.
I have to agree with you. I thought Castleford were excellent, actually, in their game against Wakefield, and they really are carving a niche out for themselves as being a real top four contender this season, and that's without a lot of changes in personnel from Darryl Powell as well, isn't it?
Yes, certainly was. And in the bad, the performance of Wakefield, well, they never turned up.
No, Wakefield were particularly poor. I think when you're going in against your big derby rivals, 22 points to nil down at half time, you know, something's got to be said. And although they did respond, didn't they, in the early stages of the second half, it was no match for Castleford, who simply went on a points rampage again, didn't they?
Also in the bad for Sunday, Bradford, one word, terrible.
Hang on, they scored 16 points.
Now, that's terrible.
That's 16 points more than they scored against St Helens. So things are going, things are improving.
Is that
there
the
at
bonus
Bradford.
For them? Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I mean, plus I was reading something about Bradford as well, saying that they're expecting a few players back from injury. So we may see these score lines start to get a bit closer again. And who knows? Maybe we're not that far away from another Bradford victory soon.
And the ugly of our Magic Weekend special: the state of Earl Crabtree's nose during his aftermatch interview.
He can't help
not
it.
A fitty sight.
He can't help it. He's been doing the rough, tough stuff for the last 10 years.
They could have given him a face cloth and washed it.
Give
the
over.
Blood spitting out all over.
Give
the place.
Over. He's a man. He's a rugby league forward. This is what they do. They go there. They make the yards. They make it really interesting. They get involved. Earl Crabtree is a wonderful ambassador for this sport of ours, and I think he can turn up in whatever state he fancies, because I'm not going to argue with him.
Finally, in the ugly, £6 for a hot dog.
Is this another ugly? Have you had like loads of... How many uglies have we had there?
Two.
£6 for a hot dog?
Yeah.
You didn't buy one, did you?
No.
I'm thinking even, you know...
I was tempted.
Even the Jackson Pocket wouldn't stretch that far.
Should we just talk about the games now on the
Yes,
field?
Please.
Right, let's move over to Saturday. And there was four thrilling games, to say the least, wasn't there?
There was, yeah. I mean, I've already touched upon the first one. Perhaps this one was a bit short on quality. Catalan against London. I thought there was way too many mistakes for my liking. You know, a decent side looked like it could have beat both of those teams put together, if I'm being truthful. But Catalan hung on for the victory, and I must praise Elliot Whitehead. I mean, no one was expecting to see him for another couple of months yet. They thought that he'd broken an ankle or a leg or something a few weeks ago, but he declared himself fit midweek and comes up with a two-try performance. What's more, it's had his teammate Leon Price calling out for him to be included in the England setup, and who's to argue against it? Because I mean, he's been the Catalan Dragons' most outstanding player over the course of the season.
Plenty of shouts for Brown for England around Widnes as well, and based on that performance for the Vikings against Salford, he's doing his reputation no harm there, and maybe a recall might be on the cards.
Yeah, I've already got my voting card in, which says Brown for England, and I think that, you know, certainly that would be a fine addition to the England squad. I think, you know, he obviously showed that he's much more of a team player than Rangy Chase on the day. Although Chase did have his moments within the game, Kevin Brown was so consistent and everything flowed through him, where you couldn't say the same about Salford, who just seemed to like trying to play hot potato rugby with no real end product. I don't know what Yestin Harris is going to do with that, but he's somehow got to temper the way that they play the game so that they can stick in these arm wrestles for a lot longer.
Big game, a big win for Widnes Vikings to avenge that defeat at the hands of Salford last year in the Magic Weekend.
I was just about to say, this season it's 3-0 now, isn't
it? 3-0 for the Vikings,
So it's an easy street as far as the Vikings are concerned against the Salford Red Devils, but I'm sure they'll have the day at some point this season.
We had a thrilling Humberside derby as well. Can you still call it the Humberside derby?
Well, we just have done. East Yorkshire derby. Yeah, I did. I thought that this was another pretty good game as well from the parts that I saw of it. Hull looked like they were fighting back at the end of the first half, and it really was pivotal, I suppose, getting Jason Crooks sent off so early in the second half, just as things were starting to get interesting. Hull Kingston Rovers, they got away from the nearest and dearest, although Hull did manage to fight back a little bit. But what's more surprising, what are they doing allowing Aidy Gardner to score a couple of tries? He's not scored tries in Super League for ages, it seems.
It seems to be a fan's favourite with the Hull KR fans, because they were chanting his name quite a lot during that game, and I was impressed with the number of fans that were there from Hull and Hull KR as well, because plenty of word on the street before the Magic Weekend was the fact they'd all be either A, down Wembley, or B, watching that home on TV, because Hull City were in the FA Cup. But fair play to the guys, they turned their back on the football team and decided to watch a proper sport instead.
Yeah, I think if you were looking at committing a crime in Hull, Saturday was the best day to do it, wasn't it? With half the city down there supporting the football club and the other half in Manchester. And yeah, you're right, they really did turn it into a party atmosphere, didn't they? And it was great to see so many of them. And it was a pretty good game, that one as well. And, I know I've just said my bit about Aidy Gardner, but it's nice to see him getting back on the field and back scoring tries.
Now, every time Hull KR lose a game, Craig Sandercott's meant to be getting the sack. So how much pressure is Lee Radford going to be under?
He'll be all right. I'm sure it'll be all right for another week.
The big game on Saturday saw Leeds and Wigan go head-to-head. We've already mentioned the brawls, there were plenty of them. Plenty of big hits as well, wasn't there? Some great tries, and it was Wigan who hung on eventually to get the win.
I love this game, but I thought that a lot of the broadcasters that were actually working on that particular game, they undersold Wigan. I know Wigan had a few injuries, but this can still turn out a really decent team, can't they? They're a fine outfit. They've got some really tough young players coming through who are starting to make the grade. And in Mickey McAlorum, he's one of those guys that certainly has not been at the top of my favourite players list, mainly because he's usually involved in all kinds of shenanigans on the field of play. But he really did roll his sleeve up and really led Wigan around particularly well, and with their game plan and them being so physical, it knocked Leeds completely out of stride and they couldn't get back into it, could they? Although, had that try stood at the end, which got sent up to the video referee, we could have been talking about a Leeds victory.
Well, we had four close games on Saturday, didn't we? So we're all hoping for the same recipe on Sunday. Three entertaining games within their own right, but a bit one-sided, some of them as well, weren't they?
Yeah, that's my ugly. Not enough competitive games in Super League, and this is where I come into the fact that when it comes down to the final eight and the, you know, from next season, and we have this change in the league structure, I think that we will see close games. So if they are going to continue with the Magic Weekend, and I have to admit, I'm going to lay my cards on the table, I'm not a fan. I was a few years ago. I thought that it was doing good work in spreading the word of rugby league, you know, in different parts of the country. But what's the point in holding it in Manchester? You know, it's like you don't need to take rugby league to Manchester. It goes there when it's grand final day. They get sell-out crowds when it's grand final day. We can't sell out the stadium for seven games, for goodness sake. I just think that it's done what it should have done. And I would like to see Magic written off into the history books.
No, I'd like to see it remain within the calendar of Rugby League. Now, whether it stays in Manchester, that's for the people who make the decisions to decide on that one. But maybe they might consider Dublin. I fancy a weekend in Dublin.
I've heard Newcastle's a good weekend as well.
Okay.
In fact, hang on. Paris. Let's have it in Paris.
Yeah,
where else can I pick?
Barcelona.
you know, Barcelona could be a good shout. Barcelona Magic. In fact, they're actually expanding rugby league into Spain at the moment, aren't they? They've got six clubs.
It sounds good already, Barcelona Magic.
Now that I would support.
Let's just stick to the action on the field last weekend in Manchester.
Do we have to?
Casford proving they're not just good for the opening stages of the season. They're starting to show they can do it week in, week out as well, as they did on Sunday.
Well, it's good to see that Clark is really still grabbing the headlines. He's been linked with all kinds of moves away from Castleford, hasn't he, over the last couple of years? But, you know, good to see that he's nailed his colours to the mast and he's performing at a high level. And then Justin Carney as well. What did they call him last year? The tank on the flank. He is an amazing player, to be honest. The way that he can just drag defenders left and right, and you know, if you give him an inch, he'll take a yard. That's how much he'll have. But I just get the feeling that, you know, Cass, they're a different class this year, aren't they? The classy Cass tag is back.
It certainly is, and Darryl Powell's done a great job, and long may it continue. As for Huddersfield against Bradford, the Giants just proving to be too strong for the Bulls on the day.
And nice to see with Huddersfield the fact that they scored so many tries, but so many different try scorers as well. In fact, you know, they scored, nine different try scorers. You can't get a much better teamwork than that, can you?
No, not at all. So well done to the Giants. As for Warrington versus St. Helens, everyone's expecting the same intensity as what we got the night before between Leeds and Wigan. And for like an hour, it was a one-sided affair until St. Helens decided we're going to start playing now at 36-6 down.
To be fair, you know, one side was playing with a lot of intensity. That was Warrington, wasn't it? And you know, when they got beat by such a margin at home on the opening night of the season, a lot of criticism was sent Warrington's way, maybe unjustly at the time, because, you know, St. Helens had an awful lot to prove. They got a new halfback in there who, you know, ran that particular game. And it was good to see Warrington, you know, turn the table somewhat and come up with a good performance. Reece Evans with a couple of tries, and Otis Joel Monaghan with another couple of tries to add to the couple that he got just the other week against the Catalan side. And to be fair, they were worthy winners, weren't they? And it was a good performance.
Seven games, seven winners. Let's have seven coaches in Coach's Corner. Fresnay, Sandercott, Betts, Wayne, Powell, Anderson, and then finally Tony Smith.
Yeah, we're happy with the win. And that's the only thing. I think the performance was poor, and even if we create enough opportunities to win by three tries, we didn't convert that. So we've been lucky enough that Drinkwater didn't convert the try. So that's the only thing.
I mean, you went 18-6 up, and they came back. And were you thinking, are we going to be the first team to lose to the Broncos?
No, because I think London Broncos, the last 3-4 weeks, they building some momentum and building something. They got and I talked with Grima before the game, and you can feel he's confident for the future. So I think Paul Anderson said he was lucky enough to win against them last week. Today we were lucky enough. I'm not quite sure if the next opposition will be lucky enough to play against them.
Well, yeah, it's a fantastic win. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't spectacular, but what it was, it showed lots of character, determination, energy, pride in their team, pride in each other, wanting to work for each other. All those things that you can't buy. You have to grow. You have to put it in place. You have to pick the right people, and then you have to cultivate it within an environment where you get that out of the other side of it. And we're a long way from being a really good side. We're a good side, but we're a long way from filling our potential at the moment. I mean, there's so much more in this team, and I think they know it, and that's what the real pleasing aspect of it is about being involved with these lads. We had enough about us, and that's to be able to control a game and get a tempo right, in the sense when we lost John Clark and we lost Danny Craven, you lose all your structure and your shape. Then for Lloyd White to take control, and Kevin and Rhys Hanbury to really put their hands up and control this game, so it was a great performance.
Yeah, it was a close one, that's for sure. You know, most derbies are. You know, full credit to Hull for coming back, and you know, probably a little bit disappointing us for letting them back, but in saying that, you know, we finished the game and went on with it.
And you've touched on the sending off. How did you see it, apart from the fact that he got the red card?
Yeah, they didn't miss. You know, young Liam Saunders in Disneyland at the moment, so you know, it was probably the right decision.
And the game itself at that stage, only if you're down to 12 men, they capitulate, but fair play, they came back within 2 points of you.
Yeah, of course. You know, you can do one or two things when you get down to 12 men. You can either, as you said, capitulate, or you can, you know, galvanise, and Hull certainly did that, and full credit to them. They scored a couple of quick tries and, you know, really put us under pressure.
And then Eddie Gardner chipped in with a brace as well at the end.
Yeah, he's going really well for us, 80, and, you know, the professionalism that he brings, you know, some of our younger players are learning a lot from him.
Probably the best ever, why I've been here since 2010. The desire to show all the players in training all week has been unbelievable. And, you know, we've only had 8 and 9 training this week, and 4 players watched Hunter play today. On any normal day, would never have played. They had to be jabbed up, and they put their hand up, wanted to put the body on the line to get that win, and I'm so glad they got rewarded with it.
It just shows how much you think this was, because when I spoke to you earlier in the week, you thought that the game at Hull was the best ever, but this was a different animal sort of thing.
Yeah,
no disrespect to them.
Well, Leeds are the, you know, the top of the comp, and you know, they have a really strong squad out, and you know, we knew he was under the pump, and we knew how we needed to approach this game. So I thought we were really physical, and I thought our middle were very dominant. So you know, that makes the game a bit more enjoyable.
Did you do anything different from what happened a couple of weeks ago? I mean, I know you won the game, so that's one answer. What different to make sure that you got the win?
My big gripe, but I don't think that the score represented the true flow of the game at Edinley. You know, so I knew we weren't far off, but just needed to end our sets a bit better and build a bit of momentum, and we didn't do that. So I thought we did that today. You know, a couple of errors in the first half, but after that, I thought our completions were very good, and you know, I thought we threw a lot at Leeds. So, you know, that was a real pleasing performance.
Yeah, I thought we were excellent today. We started a little bit scratchy, but once we got hold of the game, you know, we got a lot of players playing really well today, and you know, I think the bench was superb as well. Whoever was out there from 1 to 17, they did an excellent job, so it was a pretty good performance from us. Obviously, we got the points on the board before half time, which it gave us an opportunity to really build a score in the second half.
You mentioned the points on board, and that made it comfortable for us in the second half.
Yeah, it didn't at the end there. Obviously, Wakefield got back at us a little bit. They got a try, and then they put some pressure on, which, you know, games can get a little bit loose like that. So I was pleased that we managed to grab it back and maintain our composure and our professionalism throughout the 80 minutes, which obviously we scored at the end to make it 50. And you know, they're tough to take if you're on the receiving end of them. But obviously, from our point of view, I thought from an attacking perspective, we were very, very good.
We came with a focus of getting 2 points, and that's what we've done. So we did. They started the game with everything that we didn't. They started the game with a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and rocked us a bit. To be fair, we you know, we're a culture that doesn't like to take shortcuts, and I thought our energy and some movements of some people to start the game weren't great. And I thought Lyon and Fury definitely gave us an impact when they came on.
Tony Smith, another magic wet game done and dusted, and it's another win for Warrington. Seems to enjoy these magic games.
Yeah, we like the magic games, and for some reason I don't know, but it's probably the big occasion. But and also with our fans, so many of them here, and so vocal. They were fantastic today. But you know, I think it's just, you know, coming away to a different sort of occasion. But having said that, today was about, you know, getting out there and performing, and out-enthusing our opponents, and we did that particularly well in the first half. But second half, they came back at us and you know, made it a bit tighter of a game as well.
Were you surprised how comfortable it was during that first half?
I don't know if it was comfortable in terms of, you know, it takes a lot of energy and it saps your energy and drains your energy to play with that sort of intensity. But you know, having said that, it was well worth it, and we, you know, some things bounced our way and some points came our way because, you know, we made things happen, and, you know, we were in the right sort of positions. But exactly like Saints did to us, you know, in round one, they were in the right sort of positions to take advantage of the bounce of the ball, and, you know, when And they did a bit of that again in the second half. They did, you know, gain some momentum at different stages. So, you know, they're a good team. They, you know, had they have won today, they would have gone top of the comp. And, you know, we're up there and, you know, in there battling with some of those sort of teams that have had some great form and, you know, shows that we can still compete.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
The Boulevard, just thought of another old ground.
Oh, go on, are we back on that again?
I was thinking about it while I was listening to the coach's corner.
What made you think of the Boulevard then?
Because it's been closed down for a few years now, hasn't it?
Okay. Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Okay. Just thinking about all those coaches that were in the women's enclosure. That's a jam-packed women's enclosure at the Etihad on Saturday and Sunday. Who do you think was the happiest of those coaches?
I think it's easy.
Mr. Sandercott?
No, I think it was Sean Wayne, wasn't it? You know, he was absolutely buzzing after that game.
Every game's the best ever.
It is, yeah. He's like a little kid, isn't he, in a sweet
shop? If he gets beat at the weekends, is he going to say it's the best game ever?
No, he'll say it's the worst game ever.
Without a doubt. We've had two rounds of the Championship as well, and Lee Centurion still unbeaten.
Yeah, 11 games from 11, now 14 from 14 over the course of the season, which, to be honest, is a club record. Equaled the team that won the Championship back in 1982, that went 14 games unbeaten, as did the Second Division Championship team of 1986.
Paul Rowley, certainly the man for the Centurions.
He is, but you better watch out because Featherstone are on the charge, aren't they? They've appointed Andy Hay as their new coach, former Salford man, former Hull as well. I think he served on the coaching staff there too. And already he's had the pressure put on him because, you know, no pressure, but Craig Poskett, the chairman there, has said... they are going to go unbeaten the rest of the season. So
wow.
It means that the rest of the
That's
Championship...
A heck of a statement.
The rest of the Championship can go and pack up, can't they?
Right then. A good win for North Wales Crusaders against Halifax. From Hall, there's another former ground as well.
Yep, you're right. But what if... You're right. Great result on both counts, actually. 12-6. Yeah. I mean, that was great in over there in round 10. I thought that was a really tough as teak performance, to be honest, from the North Wales club. And they've been missing a few players recently as well, haven't they? So, you know, they obviously showed that when they played against the top teams of the competition that they can mix it.
Sticking with round 10 in the Championship as well. A big win for Whitehaven against Doncaster.
Yeah, I mean, Doncaster were flying really, really high, weren't they, and looking particularly impressive. But Whitehaven themselves, they seem to be turning it round gradually. I noticed that they also had a positive result in round 11 as well. So the fact that they are now on the climb up the table, they're away from the relegation spots, albeit just 3 points above relegation, because remember there's 5 going down from the Championship.
All to play for in the Championship, as there is in the Championship one. I suppose Gloucester Old Goals would be boosted by the return of the Mac.
Yep, Steve McCormack. I mean, you was rumouring the other week that you put your CV in.
I did. Stevie Mac got the nod instead.
But, you know, we're glad that Steve McCormack's back
we'll
in the
game. We'll
have
to get him on the show and get his insight about life in Gloucestershire.
An interesting fact there as well is that game against London Scholars was actually played in Enfield. They're on the road now for the next 6 home games because they're doing some upgrading to their current stadium. So, and I'll say an encouraging attendance, an encouraging performance, though, particularly from Gloucestershire Old Golds. Canterbury, the young lad who they've got on loan from Hunslet, really doing a number at Hookerford, them scoring a couple of tries and getting in the team of the week.
So just looking at the runners and riders in Championship 1, it does look like it's going to be a straight shootout between Hunslet and York.
I don't think you can particularly count out Oldham at this stage, although there is a little bit of daylight, isn't there? But certainly Hunslet, they've won their last 6 games in the competition, so they're currently top with 7 wins from 8 attempts. York in second with 6 wins from their 8 games, and then Oldham tucked in just behind with 5 wins from their 7 games so far.
Plenty to play for, isn't there? We spoke about Steve Mack making a return as head coach for the Gloucestershire All Goals. We'll try and get him on their future final hooter if we can get the connection between here and Gloucester. But let's hear from two new coaches in Super League. Yes, and Harris, who's been there and done it, hasn't he, as a coach and as a player. But he is the new head coach at the Salford Red Devils. Joe Grimmett, everyone thought it was the former Widnes player who was going to be the coach at London Broncos. That would be an ace, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
He'd be there in the dugout with his fags, smoking Joe.
But I mean, Joe
turned up in his milk cart.
Fortunately, it's an Australian who seems to be a little bit more placid.
I'm getting all retro again, aren't I? Let's just hear from Harris and Grimmett, shall we, as they reflect on what they're hoping to achieve as a coach at Salford and at the Broncos.
Yes, and Harris, just over the morning to your new role at the Salford Red Devils. How are you finding it? Obviously, there's a lot to do in a short space of time, so it's important to get some key areas that we need to work on. And I think we're starting to show signs of improvement. I think defensively we're starting to show signs that we've got some stability in the defensive system, which has been taken quite a bit of work. The players are fully bought into everything, so hopefully now we're going to start to see some signs of improvement on the field and start to pick up some wins along the way.
So it's fair to say the Red Devils are an ambitious club. Are you excited by that ambition that's being shown?
Absolutely. We've got some really, really good players within our ranks and some flair within our ranks, and we've got some more to come in at the end of the season. What's crucially important is that you've got a structure defensively which is very, very solid and very aggressive, and make it extremely difficult to break down as a team, defensively. So if we can do that, with the flair that you've got, you're going to win more than you'll lose. That's a really sort of key focus point for us, is to be a team that's not conceding any soft tries and being a team that makes opposition work extremely hard to cross the try line.
And you've released your role at Wales. How come is that going to make your role at Salford a little bit easier?
Wales is something I've enjoyed, and I took them to a couple of championships and four nations, which was really, really pleasing. It's just I think if you're a day-to-day coach in Super League, it's very difficult to do that dual role for too long, and for me it was I just needed a little bit of a break at the end of this season to be able to catch up with my family for a bit and have a bit of downtime, and that's important to me.
Are you fully sat into the role of Salford then?
Yeah, we're into the mood with it, and the staff are starting to realise how I work, and the players are realising I work, and we're starting to create a partnership between us and get to a position that we're all striving for exactly the same thing. And that's important, because you've got to make sure from your kit man through to your captain through to your head coach, you're all striving for exactly the same thing at the end of the day. I think we're starting to get to a point where we're doing that.
Joined by Joe Grimmett, the head coach of the London Broncos. Joe, when you first come over to the Broncos, did you expect to be given the role as head coach halfway through your first season over there?
No, definitely not, Adrian. My understanding coming over to the Broncos, I had a year to go at the Dragons, and my understanding with the Broncos was to come over and assist Tony Ray and would take over a more senior role in 2015. So the decision that David and the club has made are probably 6 months prematurely, Andrew, than what I actually anticipated.
So has that made a challenge even harder than what it is going to be for you guys?
Oh, look, I think in coaching, every job's hard, whether you own a job or you get one halfway through the season. Particularly where we are, it's always going to be a challenging one. But Tony and I certainly came over with my eyes wide open, knowing the challenges that lay ahead.
What do you make of London Broncos as a club out here?
Yeah, look, London are a fantastic club. They've got some real diligent and genuine supporters. Given we haven't had a win this year, you've got the same supporters coming week in and week out. Where we are, we've got some really good grassroots clubs coming through in our program. We've got some outstanding juniors, not only in our first team, but coming through the academy. As a whole, I think it's a club that's got immense potential. And, we can go back to those glory days at the Harlequins or the London Broncos before that. I really do.
What do you make of the standards in the UK?
Adrian, I'm really surprised. I was taken back by the quality. Back home on TV, you watch it on TV, and you don't get the true understanding. One of the biggest differences, however, is the way that the Super League teams wrestle and defend opposed to the NRL. But as far as skill-wise and talent, it's right up there. There are some fantastically talented footballers over here, and really gifted ones. I was really taken back and quite surprised watching them live how good they are.
Was it so premature, like, being given the role? Have you been kind of thrown in the deep end or something?
No, not really. Part of being assistant coach is doing analysis, cutting up opposition, reviewing opposition, planning training sessions, doing one-on-one sessions, and it's no different to what I'm doing now. Just the only thing is that you've got a head in front of the assistant or replacing that, so it's I'm certainly not foreign to this type of work anyway.
You're relishing the challenge as well?
Yeah, I think every coach does. I certainly am. I'm enjoying the challenge, and little steps.
It is little steps, and because he called me Andrew, I'm going to say, you've been thrown in at the deep end.
Ted. You've got to call him Ted. No, I do think he's got...
No, I'm only joking.
He's got one of the biggest jobs on in rugby league, hasn't he, to be honest.
Say that again.
I wonder how many other coaches around this country would be thinking, you know, that's a job that I really, really fancy. You know, he's got a club that at the moment their hardcore fan base has dropped down below 1,000. He's got a club that, although it's getting better and has certainly taken an upshot in the performances, haven't they, over the last few weeks?
They're doomed.
Still can't seem to win, and they need to muster about 8 or 9 wins over the second half of the season, don't they?
I don't know. If they did get relegated, is it a bad thing?
I don't think they'd ever come back again.
You never know.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think they'll ever come back again, because I can see a lot of those promising kids, like we mentioned Keaton Brown before, who's you know, up there with the try scoring. He'll be off. Someone else will come in for him, maybe a St Helens or a Hull or someone like that, you know, someone with a bit of money to flash the cash about. And I think then they're going to be dipping into like London Scholars territory, aren't they, and maybe stealing some of those players back that they deem not good enough at the time. But it's an interesting theory, is rugby league development, and you know, I'm a big one when it comes to rugby league development. I do want to see the newer clubs do well. I think it's time for somebody else to win Super League, though, to be honest. I think, you know, London have had their time. It's not working out for them. Let's get someone else in.
Good luck to Joe Grimmett. Yeston Harris, he's another man who's got a big job on his hands, hasn't he?
I think he'll need good luck as well, to be honest, with the way that Mr. Marwan Kukaš, or Dr. Marwan Kukaš, has been, you know, making statements. I noticed he was a bit quiet on Twitter over the course of the weekend for the Magic, so maybe he's learning the error of his ways a little bit. He did post one saying, "I have been told I must think before I post something," so
right,
you know, maybe something's filtering through there, but... again, it's a really interesting story, and I just get the feeling that you can't just go buying a club. You can't just hope to sign 15, 20 new players and hope that they're all going to gel and hope that you know, you're going to start winning, because it's not like that. You need to build a team, and it needs to be built on foundations coming through, and I hope that Yeston is given the time to implement those foundations and really improve it.
Sad news has reached us at the start of the show, by the way. The news that Steve Pickersgill, a former Warrington and now at Widnes, has decided to call it a day due to injuries, 28 years of age.
Blimey, they're getting younger, aren't they, these retirements in rugby league? Pickersgill has been a good servant to Widnes over the last few years. Really struggled over the last 18 months or so, hasn't he, with those injuries. So I have to admit, I wasn't completely surprised by the news. But, you know, one thing I will say is that best of luck to him in whatever he does next.
Get down to Crossroads at Warrington, you'll see him coaching them.
Oh, right, so he's already donning the coaching boots, is he?
I think he is, anyway.
You know, doing his badges. That's always good.
It certainly is good, and hopefully Steve Pickersgill will be back working within the game somewhere.
Let's hope that he's not lost at the game.
Well, our time's come to an end, David, but we're not going to be replaced. We'll be back soon with another Final Hooter.
That was the Final Hooter on loverugbyleague.com and Radio General. Hospital Radio for Warrington.